today, today about my 1 o'clock shiur on Shavuos, which will be Bizal Hashem about Roe v. Wade, and in general about abortions in Halacha. Of course, it's a very, very heated discussion among the poskim. We'll see some very interesting tshuvos of poskim talking about the approaches of others. Very, very interesting. And so let's go into it. Now, obviously, this is a very, very serious case. I don't have any intention to be posik halacha, but just to see about the things that the post can take in consideration regarding this prohibition of abortion. So, let's start from the source of the Isser. The source of the Isser is Parshas Noach in Bereshis. Shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam, damo yishafech ki betzev Elohim asat adam. If a person spills the blood of a man, which is in a man, shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in source number 2, darshins it regarding abortions. As we see in source number 2, Ashkach Rabbi Yaakov bar Achada veketiv Yosef Agata Dvirav, Ben Noach, there are certain chumras that Ben Noach has as opposed to Jews. The non-Jewish people have certain chumras that we don't have. For instance, Neherag b'dayan echad uve'ed echad. As we all know, in order to kill a person in the framework of Beis Din, so you have to have a Beis Din of 3 judges, you have to have 2 witnesses, you have to have hasra, you have to before him warn him, don't do this, because if you'll do that, so you will get punishment. However, a non-Jew, he dies immediately without a surah, without any warning, only with one ed, and also with only one dayan. In that case, he dies, he, even with an edus of a korov, of a relative, all kind of chumras. Mishum Rabbi Yishmael Amru, they added another chumra, af al ha'ubarin, another chumra that the non-Jews have, as opposed to us, that they are killed. A non-Jew is killed if he killed a fetus, if he killed an ubar. Where does he learn it from? So he learns it from Parshas Noach about Bnei Noach. Hashofech dam ha'adam ba'adam d'mo yishafech. Ezu adam shehu ba'adam. Ve'omer ze ubar shebimei imos. So if a person, if a non-Jew kills the Adam who is in the Adam, which is a fetus, so in that case, his blood will be spilled and he will also be killed as a punishment. Okay? So this is the source of Bnei Noach regarding their prohibition, their warning of abortions of killing fetuses. The Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin, just a few blocks later, a very important rule, Leika midam de Israel shari ulen mochri asu. There is no such thing. There is nothing that is allowed to a Jew, and for a non-Jew, it is prohibited. There is this general rule that if something is usur, prohibited for the non-Jew, so it has to be prohibited also for the Jew. So you learn from there that it has to be that we too, the Jewish people, if the non-Jews are chayev and are not allowed to harm a fetus, so is Jews, that they also are prohibited in the Isser of doing anything to a fetus. The Tosfot in Sanhedrin asks, that's not true. There are certain things that are a mitzvah for non-Jews, certain prohibitions that are prohibitions for non-Jews. However, they're not a prohibition for Jews. For instance, Shabbos, as we all know, goy sheshavat chav mita, a non-Jew that observed Shabbos, he's chav misa. So he has a violation that we don't have. He is not allowed, he has a prohibition, he has an isser. He's not allowed to keep Shabbos. That's an isser that he has, but we don't have this isser. So you see that there are certain things that non-Jews have that we don't have. So Tosfot answers very, very easily. He says, b'davar shu mitzvah li Yisrael, lo amrin an hachi. So he says, since for us it's a mitzvah, so in that case, of course, you cannot say that they have an issur that we don't have, because for us, it is a mitzvah. He says, there's another thing that seems that they have that we don't have, and that is regarding a child, a fetus, who is endangering the life of the mother. And the Mishnah says, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Yatsa in Sanhedrin, it's a Mishnah also in Masechet Ohalot, Yatsa Rosho Ein Nogimbo, De Ein Dochi Nefesh Mipnei Nefesh. אבל קודם שיצא ראשו, החיה פושטת ידה וחתכתו לאיברים ומוציאה כדי להציל את אמו. וכהי גם בעובד כוכבים אסור, כיוון שהוא זרוע על העוברים. We're going to see soon that in certain cases you're allowed to kill a fetus, primarily when the mother is in danger. And in that case, you could kill the child. So for us, we could kill the fetus. But the non-Jews, if they do that, they will be chayav misa. So you see, says Tosfot, that there is a prohibition that the non-Jews have that we don't have. That's what he asked. So how is the Gemara saying clearly? There's no such thing of an Isser that only non-Jews are prohibited and Jews are allowed. So Tosfot answers two interesting answers. He says, first of all, יש אבל דהן נמי בישראל מצווה כדי להציל. First of all, the fact that we save the mother, the fact that we kill the fetus, it's not because we allow killing fetuses, it's because here we have again a mitzvah. The same answer that we gave to the first question, how is it that non-Jews have this prohibition called Shmiras Shabbos? So why is it that we don't count that as something that they are prohibited and we are allowed? Because for us it's a mitzvah. This too, for us, is a mitzvah. Saving the mother is a mitzvah. And then he adds something very interesting, and he says, you know what? It could be that there isn't any kasha whatsoever. It could be that even according to the non-Jews that are prohibited with killing a nefel, that are prohibited for killing a fetus in Ubar, so maybe also they are allowed to kill the fetus in those circumstances when the fetus is endangering the life of the mother. So in that case, it's not a good example of something which is prohibited for non-Jews and allowed for Jews, but rather, also for them, it is allowed to kill in those circumstances the fetus because he's actually saving the mother. So it's very interesting because I know that the Vatican wanted to have some kind of conference with the Chief Rabbinate of Israel, and they wanted to have this conference together of the Chief Rabbinate, and I think also they wanted to have some Muslim representatives in order to have some kind of bill to form some kind of inter-religious bill saying that abortion is murder and it's not allowed. And I know that they wanted also to include that even in the case that the fetus is endangering the life of the mother, it is prohibited. I know from sources in the Chief Rabbinate that they weren't willing to sign such a thing, because according to halacha, when the fetus is endangering the life of the mother, so it's not only allowed to kill the fetus, but it is a mitzvah to kill a fetus because you're saving the life of the mother. So, however, in the Vatican, they held that no, there still is a prohibition, there still is an Isser. So I just wonder if we would have showed this Tosfot to the Vatican, saying, listen, according to Tosfot, even a non-Jew is allowed, would that be compelling? I don't know. But
I'm interested in knowing what your sources are in the Chief Rabbinate.
Yeah, I'll tell you later. I'm just recording myself, so I don't want to but I know that was, as a fact, I know that that was something that was on the table. So, again, so you see from here that when the child is endangering the life of the mother, so maybe there's an Isser for non-Jews, but for the Jews it's a mitzvah, and also maybe non-Jews as well are allowed to kill a fetus under those circumstances. That is regarding the source of the Isser. So as we said, we have an explicit pasuk, and the Gemara Darshan is regarding non-Jews, and Jews are also commanded because there's no such thing of an Isser that is an Isser only for non-Jews and not an Isser for Jews. Okay, very good. So that's the source of the Isser of touching a fetus. Let's learn a very interesting machlokas regarding the Israeli midwives, the Me'aldot HaEvriot. As we know, in Sefer Shmot, in source number 5, so the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, tells the Me'aldot HaEvriot, which one is called Shifra and one is called Puah, he tells that when you see a child, kill him, kill the fetus, kill the child. Nevertheless, they don't listen to him. They don't do anything to the the Israeli children that were that they were commanded to kill. Who are those Mealdot Ivriot? In Hebrew, you could say they were Israeli midwives, meaning that they were Jewish, or maybe they were Mealdot La Ivriot. They were midwives for the Jews. Rashi says famously that who is Shifa v'Pua? Who are the Mealdot Ivriot? Zoyo Cheved, al shem shemeshaperet tavlad, Pua zo Miriam, shepua mudaberet v'gal avlad. So he says that the Mealdot Ivriot are Israeli midwives, Jewish midwives, that they were actually Shifa v'Pua were Yocheved and Miriam, the mother and sister of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were Jewish. So the meaning of Mealdot Ivriot, that they were Jewish midwives. Says that Barbanel in source 7, Velo hayu Ivriot. No, the Mealdot Ivriot weren't Israeli midwives. They were midwives for the Israelis. Lo hayu Ivriot. Why? Ki ech yivtach libo benashim ha-Ivriot sheyamitu vladihem. Aval hayu mitzriot Mealdot et ha-Ivriot. Ratzal mar ozot ha-Nilad. Kmo shekata v'yaldchen et ha-Ivriot. He says, no, there were actually Egyptian midwives, why? Because the Israeli midwives, for sure, wouldn't have listened to Pharaoh. For sure, they wouldn't have be accomplices to his terrible deeds. So, of course, he wouldn't even think of asking them. But the Barbanel says, no, it could very much be. So because that says the Barbanel that the midwives were non-Jewish. Okay, so Evi Machlokas, Rashi and Abarbanel were these Jewish midwives or midwives of the Jewish. I think I saw in the book of Nechama Leibovich, she brings down this Machlokas. So she says, the midwives, are they Judenrat or Chasidei Umot Olam? Yeah, are they Jewish accomplices to the government or were they righteous among the nations that did great deeds? So anyways, Rashi says they were Jewish. Rabbanel says they're non-Jewish. Says the Maharsha, I don't know if he's responding to the question of the Barbanel, but he's actually saying, I'll tell you what, Rashi is right. These midwives are Jews, are Jewish midwives. So why did the king of Egypt ask the Jewish midwives? Why did he think that they will listen to him more than the Egyptian midwives? So he says, I'll tell you why.
דבדאי פרעה לא שאל מהם להרוג הזכרים בידיים, דבן נוח מוזר השפיכות דמים, ולקח לא אמר כן למילדות המצריות, שהוזרו השפיכות דמים, אפילו בעוברים, אבל למילדות העבריות אמר, שהותר לכם להרוג עובר במאימו. Says the Maharsha, Pharaoh was a Lamdan. Pharaoh learned the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Zayin, and he knew that Egyptians, if they, non-Jews, if they kill a fetus, they're chayav misa. If they kill a fetus. If they kill it in ubar, they're chayav misa. However, Jews, if they kill in ubar, maybe they have a prohibition, but they're not chayav misa. So in that case, he says, who are most likely will listen to my orders? The Egyptians that are chayav misa, that they deserve death punishment if they kill a fetus? Or the Jews that don't have this iser. So he says, I intentionally, Pharaoh asked the Israeli midwives, the Jewish midwives, because I know that they are more likely to listen to me than the Egyptian ones. Because the Egyptian ones are chayav misa as opposed to the Jews. Amazing, Maharsha. Amazing, Maharsha. So because of that, he says,
saying that Pharaoh wanted to abort the children? Not so, to kill them after they were born, but to abort them?
Yeah.
While they were...
Yeah, that's how he understands. Shutar lechem l'harog ubar b'mi'i imo. B'yaledchen et ha'ivriot. When you're down in the process, before they come out, how do they recognize if it's a boy or a girl? I don't know. But that's the explanation of the Maharsha. Maybe they had ultrasounds, and they know in advance if it's a boy or a girl, but that's the explanation of the Maharsha. So anyways, it's very fascinating. Machlokas, who were the Mealdot Ivriot? Were they Egyptians or Israelis? Rashi says that they were Israelis, and Abba Mesa says they were Egyptians. But since
since it's more of an Isser for non-Jews as opposed to Jews, so Nishmas Avraham, so he says, regarding abortions, if indeed a woman has to have an abortion, כתבו כל הפוסקים שאישה שצריכה הפלה, תעשה זאת על ידי רופא ישראל, שאינו מצווה על העוברים, ואף שיש איסור בדבר, וכל כך נדחה איסור זה עם ביקוח נפש, ולא תעשה זאת על ידי רופא נוחי, שהרי בנוח מוזהר ומצווה על העוברים, ואם כן עוברת האישה המכשירתו בזה, בלב שלפני עיוור לא תתן מכשול, הגוואלדת פסק, and I know this is a psak also in Sitzel Yezor, is that his own psak? He collected it from all kind of rabbis, that if you have a woman has to have an abortion, who should do the abortion process? Who should do it? A Jew or a non-Jew? A Jew! Because a non-Jew that kills it in Ubar is Chayav Misa. If you'll ask him to do it, it's an Ifnei Ver Lo Teten Michshol. So you should prefer and ask a Jew to do it, a Jewish doctor, than a non-Jewish doctor. Amazing. Halacha Lemaisa. So very, very similar to the Havdil to Pharaoh, that he knew very well that more likely it will be more kedai to ask the non-Jew midwife as opposed to the Jewish midwife. Is everything clear until now? Crystal, right? Baruch Hashem. So after this introduction, let's see how does the halacha view the fetus? What is his status? Is he alive, not alive? Is he a human being, not a human being? How do we consider the fetus in halacha? There is a very important and fundamental Mishnah in Ohalot. The Mishnah in Ohalot says the following, it was already mentioned before, and in Tosfot, Haisha shimaksha lilid, mechatchim et avlad b'me'eha, umotziim oto evarim evarim, b'pnei shechaya kunum lechayav. A woman who is now in labor, however, she is in danger. The fetus is endangering her life. So, what do we do? We have to kill the fetus, the embryo, mechatchim et avlad b'me'eha, umotziim oto evarim evarim. Why? B'pnei shechaya kunum lechayav. Her life comes before his life. However, yatzaru bo, but if the majority of the fetus is already out and she's now in danger, eino gimbo. You don't kill him in order to save the mother. Because at this point, why should you save this life and not that life? You don't kill one person in order to save another person. You don't interfere. So if the fetus, the embryo, is inside the mother and now he's endangering her, you kill the fetus in order to save the mother. He's already almost fully out. His majority of him is outside. You don't touch him. Ain't dochim nefesh b'nei nefesh. What is the difference? What is the difference between the time that he's inside, or a part of him is already outside, as opposed to when the majority of him is already outside the mother? What is the difference? A fundamental machlokus between Rashi and Rambam. Rashi says in Source 11, Yitzhak Husho, it's Rashi in Sanhedrin, Beisha makshel yeled musukenet, קטן יראי שהחיה פושטת את ידיו וחותכתו ומצאותו איברים, דכל זמן שלא יצא לאוויר העולם, לב נפש הוא, וניתן להורגו ולהציל את אמו. That until he's not out in the air of the world, לב נפש הוא. He's not considered to be a living being, he's not considered to be a human being, he's not a nefesh, and because of that, that's why the mother lives and the child doesn't. We choose to save the mother because until he's out, he's not a nefesh. He's not considered to be a living human being. Aval yatzar roshu, but from the moment that the majority of his head is out, eino gimbo leorgo. Dehave lekeilot, because now he's alive. Now he's a living being. Ve'ein dochim nefesh v'pnei nefesh. And this moment, you don't choose this life as opposed to that life. They're both human beings, so don't interfere. Don't interfere and don't kill the baby for the sake of the mother. So according to Rashi, he says very clearly, when the fetus is inside the womb of the mother, inside the mother, he's not a nefesh. He's not a human living thing. But when he's already outside, his head is already outside, then he becomes a yilod. And because of that, ein dochin nefesh v'nefesh. You have two living beings, don't interfere. For that very reason, the Mishnah in Erechin makes a lot of sense. The Mishnah says there, Haisha shitza lehareg, ei mamtinim la ad shiteled. The Mishnah there says, if a woman did some kind of a vera, that she deserves the death penalty, she's supposed to die. And she's pregnant. So maybe we should wait until she gives birth, and then we will kill her, because why should we kill the Vlad? It says Mishnah, no. Kill her with the Vlad, with the child inside. We don't care. If we hold that the child is a separate living being, so in that case, that doesn't make any sense. Wait until she gives birth to this living being, and then kill her. But if we hold that she's not a nefesh yet, the fetus, the embryo is not a nefesh, he's not a living being, he's part of the mother, so if the mother deserves to die, so will the fetus. That is the opinion of Rashi, a very clear opinion, that until he's out, the fetus is not considered to be a human living being. Rashi. However, Rambam says differently. This is a Rambam that all the Achronim are struggling to understand. What is he talking about? The Rambam says in Source 13, Harei mitzvah, harei zu mitzvah lo ta'aseh, shelo lachus al nefesh harodef. We all know that there is this halacha of rodef. If Reuven is chasing Shimon and wants to kill Shimon, don't feel bad for Reuven. Don't be merciful. Kill Reuven, the rodef, in order to save Shimon. Lefichach, for that very reason, horu chachamim shahubara shibaksha leiled mutar lachtoch haubar b'me'eha ben besam ben bayad ben shurdef areha leorga. Because of that reason, when the embryo, when the fetus is now endangering the life of the mother, you're allowed to kill the fetus because it's a rodef. And don't feel sorry for the fetus. Kill it. However, im yishotzi rosho, ein nogim bo mipnei she'ein nochi nefesh mipnei nefesh, v'zehu tiv'o shel olam. The Rambam says, but once the child is outside, don't touch the baby, because now it's a nefesh mipnei nefesh, v'zehu tiv'o shel olam. This is the teva, the natural way of living. You have a mother giving birth to a child, and it's a bit dangerous. Because of that, don't do anything to the child. But according to the Rambam, he doesn't say that he's not a nefesh. He says, on the contrary, it sounds very much that according to the Rambam, the embryo is a nefesh. He's a living nefesh, a living rodef. Lo lachus al nefesh harodef. Don't be merciful for the life of the rodef. That's why kill the baby. However, once he's outside, ein dochi nefesh mipnei nefesh. So all the achronim ask, memanafshach, if the baby is a living being and he's a rodef, so in that case, you should kill him also when he's outside. Also when he's already starting to be outside, the majority of him is outside, kill him as well if he's a rodef. And if he's not a living being, so why do you call him a nefesh? It's a very, very perplexing Rambam. Because if the idea here is rodef and tivo shaloylam, also, when he's inside the mother, it is the natural way of life. It is tiv'o shel olam. So why should we care? Is the question clear about the Rambam? Rashi distinguishes and says, listen, until that point, he's not even a living thing. From here on, he is a living thing. Okay, it's clear. According to Rambam, he's always a nefesh. He's always a living thing. But once he's a rodef, once he's not a rodef, what happened? So the Sma somehow in Source 14 forces, I think, the words of Rashi in the Rambam, saying that he holds the same thing, that since he's not a nefesh, so that's why we consider him to be a rodef, but once he's already outside, so in that case, once he's outside, so he's a nefesh, and it's teva oilam, so he's not a rodef. Very hard, but that's the Sma saying it's the Sma, which is the leading posek in Choshen Mishpat. There is a very interesting Rav Shach in the Avi Ezri that, unfortunately, I didn't bring him in the source sheet because I didn't have access to Otsah Chochmah when I wrote this source sheet. But Avi Ezri has a very interesting pshat in the Rambam. Avi Ezri, Rav Shach, says that the pshat is that when a child is endangering the life of the mother, and the mother is, in that case, also endangering the life of the fetus, they're both rodef. They're both chasing one each other. The fetus is rodef the mother, and the mother is rodef the fetus. So says Rav Shach, in that case, who should live? Who should live? So he says that when we kill the rodef, there are tzvei dinim. First of all, I want to save the person who's being chased, the nirdaf. And the second thing is that we give the rodef the punishment that he deserves if he would succeed fulfilling his mission. If the rodef would have succeeded killing this person, he would deserve death penalty. So we kill him already now. From this moment, he gets the punishment that he is supposed to get if he actually manages to kill this person. That's the lumpness of killing the rodef. It's saving the nirdaf and also giving the rodef the punishment that he deserves if he will succeed killing someone. That's the idea of killing the rodef according to Rav Shach. So says Rav Shach, when the fetus is rodef the mother and the mother is rodef the fetus. So if someone kills a mother, a living being, someone is rodef, a living person, so which punishment does he get? He gets chiyuv misa. He deserves to die. He gets a chiyuv misa. However, if someone is rodef an embryo, a fetus, so he doesn't deserve chiyuv misa, because if, as we all know, Jews, even according to the Rambam, if they kill a fetus, they're not chayv misa. It's a violation, it's a prohibition. There's no chiyuv misa. So because of that, they're both rodef one each other. But when the fetus is still inside, so the mother who's rodef, she doesn't deserve any misa. So in that case, we won't kill her, we'll kill the rodef that deserves to die, if he will succeed. However, once the baby's outside, if someone is rodef a fetus and kills him, he deserves misa. So in that, sorry, not that fetus, as a child, he a living being, he deserves misa. For that point, both of them are now equal rodefim, we don't interfere. That's according to Rav Shach, because again, the idea of killing the rodef, that he gets the punishment if he would have succeeded in his mission of trying to kill someone.
What does Tiva Olam mean that the Rambam says? What anybody talk about?
So the Tiva Olam, I think according to Rav Shach, could be according to everything. It is, the Teva of the Olam is that a child, is, a woman is pregnant, and there is danger having the baby during the time of pregnancy, and also afterwards. That's the Teva. But from the moment that the baby's outside, and this is also the Teva, so he's not actually a Rodef, they're both considered to be Rodef, one for each other. So because of that, we don't interfere. But beforehand, we could interfere, because if someone will try to kill an embryo, he won't be Chayav Misa, because the person that kills an embryo, a fetus, is not Chayav Misa. So that is maybe the idea of Tiva Olam. Again, it's a very, very hard Rambam, very hard to understand Rambam. That's why many think that the halacha is like...
I have an understanding of Tiva Olam, meaning that the fetus isn't eroded. It's because it's Tiva Olam.
I mean, wait, so in that case, why is he erodef when he's inside?
Well, when he's inside, the mother... That's a good question. When he's
that's the question. I mean,
I understand. So when he's inside, the mother's life is more important than his because he's not really an embryo.
Oh, wait. So you're now putting the words of Rashi inside, and that is also what the Sma is saying. That even according to the Rambam, he's not a nefesh. But if you read out the Rambam, he sounds like a nefesh because the mitzvah is lo lachus al nefesh hanirdaf. Because it's a nefesh. But still, don't be merciful for that nefesh. So the Sma says, as you say, that he's not a nefesh at that point. But Pshat Rambam is that he is a nefesh.
I'm saying that he's a lesser nefesh. He's not the same level of nefesh as the
mother. Aha, okay. That's a very interesting Kiddush. The Rambam doesn't mention anything about that. He's not distinguishing between before and after if he's a nefesh or not, as opposed to Rashi. Rashi does say here he's a nefesh, here he's no longer a nefesh. Okay. Anyway, so these are the two fundamental approaches in the Rishonim. How do we view the life of a fetus, of an embryo? Is he a nefesh or not? According to Rashi, when he's inside the mother, he's not a nefesh. He becomes a nefesh only when he's outside. And according to the Rambam, he is a nefesh. He is a nefesh. And we have to find all kinds of explanations. Why is it that the life of the mother is before the life of the fetus when she still is pregnant, when he still is inside? What do the poskim say?
Rambam will be more machmir.
Of course. So according to the Rambam, we'll be always more machmir. Because according to the Rambam, he's a nefesh. He's a living being. So what is the view of the poskim? So I think there are two major schools, let's say, about this machlokas. And you have the Tzitzel Yezer on the one hand, Dayan Reblazer Yehuda Waldenberg, one of the greatest Dayanim that Israel ever had in the chief rabbinate system, but also even beyond. He was an extraordinary Dayan Waldenberg. And on the other hand, we have Ramoshe Feinstein. And they had a very, very steamy machlokas, one with each other, regarding how we view the life of an embryo, and is it allowed to have abortions under certain circumstances or not. So Tzitzel Yezer was Mekel. Dayan Waldenberg was Mekel. And he had a few sources to support him. First of all, he held like Rashi. And if not like Rashi, he held like the approach of the Sma in the Rambam, that he also finds that and says that when the fetus is inside the mother, he is still considered to be, he's not considered to be a full nefesh. Either not a nefesh or a full nefesh, but he's not a nefesh. In addition, we have all kind of words that we see in the Rishonim and Achronim regarding abortions. Tosfot Nida says something very, very surprising. And he says, if you're im tinsev lomar demutar lehorgo babeten afilu mete imo amay lachen alat shabbat. He asks, if indeed you are allowed to kill a fetus, so why are you mechal shabbos in order to save a fetus? So he answers, I'll tell you why. Bekom akom pikoach nefesh mechalim alat shabbat af agam demutar lehorgo. He says, although you're allowed to kill a fetus, allowed, mutar, that's the words of the Tosfot, you're allowed to kill a fetus, still there is pikuach nefesh and you save him on Shabbos. But anyways, you see from the words of Tosfot, these two words, mutar lehorgo. He says twice that you're allowed to kill a fetus. Tosfot, you're allowed to kill a fetus. Maharit says similar things in Source 16. He says, "Shela v'she'shalte mimutar l'tasek im goy achad l'taber osh tapil im yesh b'davar isum achmat ibud nefashot shel goyim." He has a question in his response: If a Jewish doctor allowed to help a non-Jewish lady to do an abortion? So says the Maharit, "V'litasek im ashtapil privitna ibud nefashot ein kan." If you assist with this abortion, there is no ibud nefashot. Da'afilu b'Israel nefalim lav nefeshu. Even if you help an abortion of a Jew, a nefel is lav nefeshu. A fetus, an embryo, is not a nefesh. Umamonu dechav rachmanau dmei vladot abal tichtid kasher shalav bal aisha. Vlados, the embryo, is only a mumen of the husband. If someone hurts a woman who is pregnant and the fetus dies, he has to pay the husband. He's only the monetary, he belongs to the husband. That's what it is, Vlados. It's money. It's not a living thing according to the Maharit. Very surprising. But according to the Maharit, the definition of a nefesh is it's not a living thing. Ibud nefeshot en kan. Nefalim lav nefesh mamashu, mamon hu dechad achonel dvebet abal. He's only the mammon of the husband. That's what he is. He's in the possession of a husband. He is the property of the husband. He's not a living thing. That is Maharit. So you have here also Rashi, the expression of the Sma in the Rambam. Tosfot that says you're allowed to kill a fetus. The Maharit who said that's not ibu nefashot. If someone kills a fetus, he's just damaging property of the husband. I guess you have your Olka approach saying that it's not a living thing. Shut Rav Pe'alim, the Chida, he is asked about a woman who committed adultery and now she got pregnant. Is she allowed to have an abortion? So he brings the approach of the Chavos Yair that says that if you would have asked me, I would have fined you a heter. However, I'm concerned if I'll give you a clear heter, so now you'll have princes in the world that people will now use this heter. The women will commit adultery and then do terrible things and then we'll have abortions. So I'm not going to allow it. But halach, I mean, meikar adin, it seems to be okay. Yaivitz also held that if the baby is a mamzer, that he came from a relations which are prohibited according to Torah. So it's not mentioned here in the Rav Pe'alim, but if I'm not mistaken, he says that since Me'ikra Adin, the mother deserves to die, if it was a Beis Din, an Adin Vasra, she would have get a Chiyuv Misa, and the child would have died as well. That's why you're allowed to kill the fetus. That's what the Yaivit says. But so he says, the Rav Pe'alim, the Chida, not the Chida, the Ben Ishchai. The Ben Ishchai says, so you have your all kind of chronim who say that it is okay. He also brings the Maharit who says that it sounds okay. So he says that heicha deika pgam mishpacha b'zeh mechilul Hashem imisher ubar v'tapil oto chashiv zeh tzorach gadol. It could be in the case of adultery, we will allow it. In the case of kavod mishpacha, a bizoyon. So in the case, it could be that we will allow it. But he says, I don't want to pass get anything. I'm just handing you out the sources. Says the Ben Ish Chai, and you will ask your local rabbi, and he will determine for you. That's what he says. But also the Rav Pe'alim brings a bunch of achronim who seem to be lenient under certain circumstances. So again, we have Rashi, we have the Rambam, that according to the Sma says it's not a nefesh. We have Tosfot, Maharit, and Rav Pe'alim. Given to all of these sources, Tzitz Eliezer, Dayan Valdenberg says that of course, in the case of Sakana for the woman, of course you're allowed to kill the fetus. That's not a question. And he says also when her health is she has a compromising health, the situation is not good. Matzav b'riutah she isha rofef meod, v'leshem refuata o hashkatat me'machoveh agdolim, darush lebatzeh apala, yesh makom latir. He says, yes, it is allowed. He adds another heter. Eshet isha zinta o ne'ensa v'dintabra. She committed adultery or she was raped. Afilu me'akum she'en avlad mamzer. If the child is from a non-Jew, it's not a mamzer. Chazra v'tshuva, מצדדים כמה מגדולה פוסקים להתיר לסדר הפלה עם מישהו ביזיונה, עם מישהו חילול השם בגלל מזה משפחה. He says, it could be that this is allowed if the woman was raped. He says that it would be, of course, better לסדר הפלה קודם שנמלאו 40 יום מהריונה, before that the embryo is 40 days from the, how do you say הפריה in English? The inception?
Fertility?
No, but
artificial inseminations?
Not artificially.
Conception.
Yeah. So 4 days from conception, which is actually 6 weeks. 6 weeks, as we all know. So in that case, it will be much better. According to Allah, it's according to the Rambam, it's called Maya Be'alma. But he says even more. Because until 3 months, usually you don't see the woman being pregnant. So in that case, also it is okay. So he says that before 40 days, also maybe before 3 months, it's not mentioned in here, but it's mentioned later, that also maybe until 7 months, you have certain heterim which will allow you to do an abortion under those circumstances. So Tzitz Eliezer was the major makel in the field of abortions, saying that it is okay, again, because of all the sources that we just mentioned. He does conclude and says, Kol bnei Yisrael muzarim ba'azara chamura lo linog kalut rosh, בהפסקת הריון, והאחריות גדולה מוטלת בזה, הן על השואל והן על הנשאל, וכולי וכולי. He says, with all these kulos, with all these heterim, this is something that should not be treated lightheadedly. This is something which is very, very serious, a big achrayus, a big responsibility. And this is something which is very, it's a big, big prohibition, a big iser, but you still have all these heterim. So Diane Valdenberg was one of the major makels in the field of abortions. And then you have, on the other hand, Reb Moshe Feinstein. Reb Moshe Feinstein, Gadol Hador in the States, in North America, maybe in the world, and he was extremely against abortions. Extremely against it. Now, how does he handle all these mahalchim, all these rishonim? So he handles it in a very, very extraordinary way, unusual way. The Igros Moshe discusses levarer harigat ubar asura b'isur etzicha ben be'akum ben b'Israel. He says, I'm not going to find out about the sources of that killing a fetus is murder ben be'akum ben b'Israel. So he said, he brings a bunch of sources. He brings a Tosfot Sanhedrin that if a Jews have this issur, so do we. Sorry, if non-Jews have this issur, so do we. Likamidam de Israel Shari Akum Osu. And then he brings Tosfot in Nida that says Mutar. Says Igros Moshe, Ein litot melashon Tosfot Nida. Sheketu shnei pamim lashon mutar lehorgo. Vehu ta'ut sofer hanikar. מוכרחים לומר שהוא טעות סופר, ובובר הוא אסור אך שפטור. He says, the Tosfot there, it's a typo. It's a misprint. It's written mutter, it's not mutter. It's supposed to be written patur. It is אסור, אבל patur. You're not allowed to do anything to the embryo, to the fetus. However, if someone did something to the fetus, so he is patur. He doesn't get any punishment. So, says Igros Moshe, it's a typo, it's a misprint, it actually means usher. And then he adds and says, "Im kevei farash ki havatos nida shasu leorgo." This is very funny. That after he fixes the words in the Tosfot, he says, here, another raya, that you're not allowed to kill a fetus. Very surprising, a typo. Then he brings the Rambam, pshat of the Rambam, that this is a nefesh, and because of that, you see from there that a fetus, an embryo, is a living human being. That's the Rambam. Then he comes and handles the Maharit. I'm reminding you, the Maharit said in source 16, Ibud nefashot ein kan. What does Igros Moshe do? He says that this Maharit seems to contradict himself from a different tshuva that he wrote. So he says, Ein lashgiach al tshuva zo. Ki vaday tshuva mezuyefet. This is a fake tshuva of the Maharit. It's not real. Some kind of person wanted to fool us. Tshuva mezuyefet imeize toe umate. Because it contradicts a previous tshuva of the Maharit, it has to be, it's not real. And this is a fake Maharit. Don't even take it in consideration. So he concludes and says that this is retzicha mamesh. That if you touch the embryo, if you kill it, so this is not, this is murder, this is a living human being, and this is Ritzicha, and he says that he was surprised to hear about a Rav, a Chacham Echad Beretz Yisrael, who is Diane Valdenberg, that allowed it even more than 3 months, in the case that the embryo is sick, it is known that he's going to have a terrible disease, Tay-Sachs, and he allowed to do an abortion very late, before the 7th month, and he says, where does he get this from? And you have no heter whatsoever to do this thing. So Igros Moshe held, it's murder. He held like the Rambam, that's a nefesh, and the Tosaf that says mutter is a misprint, and the Maharit says that there's no ibn nefashot is a ziyuf, it is not a real tshuva of the Maharit, and then he concludes and says, abortion is murder. Clearly, Reb Moshe was pro-life.
We don't have a ksav yad of the Maharit.
Good question. If you have a ksav yad of the Maharit, of the Tosfot. I didn't check it out. But Sitz Eliezer was very upset with his tshuva, and I could see why. And he speaks very harshly against Reb Moshe. He writes in Sitz Eliezer in source 20 in Chelik Yudaled. So he says, "Himtziu li mamaro shel Gram Feinstein Shlita." I saw that someone brought me the article, the essay of Moshe Feinstein Shlita, Mashibirer veHela. I read it three times, and I want to respond to every single thing that Moshe says. And here he speaks very harshly. He says, "Tosfot benida katzvim shamuta." Tosfot benida, as we previously said, that they bring the words "mutter." It's allowed to kill a fetus. Bocher lo hagaon Moshe Feinstein aderech apshuta beoter velomar shepshut abarur shutaut sofer. וצריך לגרוס במקום מותר פטור. Moshe Feinstein taking the easy path. He doesn't have any terrors to explain Tosfot. So what does he do? Typo. והנה עם כל הכבוד, says Tzitz Eliezer. לא אדוני. Very, very harsh words. לא זו הדרך. וחיים אנו על פי דברי גאוני הדורות. והם מטרחו כל אחד ואחד לפי דרכו לבאר ולהעמיד כבר דברי התוספות בנדה ולהשווה. אף אחד מהם לא עלה על דעתו דרך הקלה והפשוטה ביותר. לומר שיש טעות סופר בדברי התוספות, ומקום מותר צריך להיות אסור. Rabbis throughout the generation broke their heads understanding what is Tosfot saying here. Is he really saying that this is mutter? How could this possibly be? And none of them had this idea saying, you know what? Typo. Misprint. Instead of mutter, it's putter. No, cannot be. This is not the way that we learn Tosfot, says Tzitz Eliezer. He carries on with the Rambam. בביור של הרמב״ם בפרק א' במרוצח בוחר הגרום שפיינשן דרך משלו. He writes a big chiddush pshat in the Rambam. ועל פי זה כותב דבר מפורש עוד יותר, והריגת עובר ורציחה ממש. ואני תמה הפלא ופלא. איך שאלים את עצמו, או לא שתדיבו על דברי הפוסקים, שבירו לא כן, אלא בפוחו של דבר, איך לא ראה דברי עצמה, שמבאר כמה דברי הרמב״ם. He says, Reb Moshe Feinstein, he had this big chabura, big lumdus about explaining the Rambam. But excuse me, we have poskim, we have the Sma, he's on the Shulchan Aruch. And the Sma himself says, as Dr. Silverberg, that the pshat of the Rambam is that until he's not out in the world, Ein Shem Nefesh Alav. He's not a living being. Ein Shem Rotzeach V'mita Alav. Nogef Isha Hara V'shalem Tmei V'ladot. You're not a murderer. You're a thief. Because you take the money, the possession of the husband. But this is not a Nefesh. And he explains that pshat in the words of the Shulchan Aruch, which are identical to the words of the Rambam. So how is it that you're taking you're giving this new pshat and ignoring the poskim, says Tzitz Eliezer. And the last thing, Maharit, again, what did you say? Ma oseh hagaon Moshe Feinstein im Maharit, noket logak kedech hapshuta biyoter, vekotev, hine shgeha tshuva zu klal, ki vaday tshuva memizuyefet. Yeah, again, this is a forgery, this is not really the words of the Maharit. ואני תומה תומה אקרא, איך אפשר לעקור תשובה שמה במהרית, על פי השערה דמיונית כזאת. How can you erase this מהרית? So he writes very harshly against Moshe Feinstein with all due respect, and says, I'm standing with all my sources, I have a pile of sources supporting me, I'm not erasing any Tosfot, any מהרית, and giving new pshatin in the Rambam, I'm learning the traditional way, and according to them, of course, you're not allowed to kill an embryo for no good reason. It's a big, big prohibition. But still, under certain circumstances, and maybe more than usually they are, you hold Moshe Feinstein, there is heterium. You're allowed to kill the fetus in all these circumstances. So I'll just conclude with what we just saw here now, that the basis of the Machlokes, again, is the Rashi and the Rambam, is a Nefesh, not a Nefesh. Tzitz Eliezer, I think, again, everyone who sees it, I think, says, listen, he has the sources. And Moshe Feinstein is erasing and doing this and that. Of course, I can't say anything against Moshe Feinstein, but Tzitz Eliezer was very, very, very mekel about it. In the end of the day, Tzitz Eliezer, he was a very big, big, big posik near Shari Tzedek Hospital, and many people came to ask him questions. I once heard a story about Shmuel Neuerbach. Shmuel Neuerbach was machmir in the field of abortions, and he said that he was very much like Rav Moshe Feinstein. Once he got a phone call from a doctor that called him and said, "Listen, I have these patients in front of me, and I advise in this case that the woman should have an abortion. Can the Rav give me some kind of heter?" So he said to the doctor, "Sorry, but I can't give you any heter whatsoever. You know, I don't allow it." He says, "Rabbi, please think about it. Think of a few moments about it." He says, "I can't think about it. You know, this is my approach. You know, think 24 hours. I'll call you back another 24 hours." And then, in those 24 hours, Moshe Feinstein, Neuerbach calls the doctor and says to him, "Wait a second. Those patients, do they have any shaykhis to me? Are they my students? Is the husband my student? The wife? Or something?" He says, no shaykhis at all. I called because I thought to call you." So he says, "In that case, they don't have any shaykhis to me. Write down the following number." He gave him the number of Dayan Waldenberg, the Tzitz Eliezer, and says, you know what? Advise them to ask him, and he maybe will give you a hetel." So you see that although that they had a big, big machlokas, regarding abortions and this and that, and they wrote very, very harshly once against each other, but Tamidi Chachomim Malbim Sholom Ba'oilam, and even though he held that this is Mamish Ritzicha, Shuzan Neuerbach, nevertheless, he felt right that person could rely on Tzitz Eliezer. Okay. That's it for today. I want to wish you all a Chag Shabbat.